Morning, brothers and sisters and friends. If you are visiting for the first few times, we pray that this time will be fruitful and beneficial for you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this great love that the hymn writer was describing, how he engulfed him and really he was drowned in that love of yours that is so great and so deep. And yet, Lord, he is not consumed and he is enjoying that love. We pray that, Lord, as we read from your word about you as the good shepherd, that we also be encouraged by your great love as a shepherd to your sheep that you care and that you lay down your life for. So, Lord, may you use this time for the benefits of the listeners. Help me as well, Lord, to speak faithfully according to your anointing. Pray in your most precious name. Amen. It's even more remarkable that hymn was written about 150 years ago. It's a very old hymn, and yet the picture is so vivid. And I'm sure that the hymn writer himself have experienced that love, and that encouraged him or inspired him to write that hymn. There is a gospel in the Bible called the Gospel of John. And that is quite unique as well from the other three gospels because it was written at a much later date. It was written at a time where people start questioning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some Gnostics, believers who say that, Jesus is just a spirit. He's not truly God. And John wrote the Gospel of John, tried to reaffirm who Jesus is. And right from the very beginning, we can see that he began with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He affirmed to us who the Lord Jesus truly is, that he is God. And yet he became a man to live among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacle among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as like the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in the Gospel of John, we also found some very unique sayings or statements of the Lord Jesus. Jesus declared himself to be, I am, to the I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And we remember how that created a great stir among the crowds, especially among the religious leaders of Israel. They hated him because he's putting himself equal with God. Then he went on to say, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And 2 months ago, I talked about Jesus declaring himself to be, I am the door. And that has a very close relationship to what I'm going to share today. I am the good shepherd. Because both were spoken at the same scenario or same situation. And later on we will talk about, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. And I am the true vine in other messages. So when Jesus said, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd, it was at the situation where a man who was born blind, he was given sight by the Lord Jesus. By his power, Jesus healed him from his blindness that he had from before he was born. So at the time when he was born, he was covered with darkness, and he can't see anything. And then one day the Lord Jesus found him. And the Lord Jesus put mud on his eyes and asked him to go and wash. And he came back seeing. And that was the Sabbath day that happened. So the Jewish religious leader was questioning this man, asking him to tell them who did it, yet wanting him to deny that it was the Lord Jesus who did it. They even called his parents, asked his parents, who did this to him? They did not rejoice over the fact that this man who was born blind now given sight. But they keep interrogating him, telling his parents, asking his parents. The parents were afraid because they heard that if anyone acknowledged that Jesus is the Christ, they will kick them out of the synagogues. So the parents say, ask him. He is an adult now. Ask him. He's of age. Ask him. So they keep on asking him and asking him. And we know the story that his understanding of the Lord Jesus become clearer and clearer. Firstly, he said, oh, he's a man who asked me to do this and I came back seeing. Or maybe he's a prophet. Then later on, he said, surely he must be from God. Because God do not listen to sinners. Yet God listened to him. And no one has ever recorded that in the Bible that anyone was given sight after he was born blind. They keep on asking him. Then he said, do you want to be his disciples too? He keep asking me the same questions. And they got angry and they kick him out of the synagogues. He was excommunicated. Then he can't go back to the synagogues anymore to join the worship, to join the reading of the scriptures anymore. He's out. He's kicked out of the fold. This leadership of God, instead of being careful by these Jewish religious leaders who are supposed to be shepherds over God's people, they kick him out. Jesus went and met him, and Jesus revealed himself to him of who he is. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he bowed down and worshipped the Lord Jesus. And that is the situation, that is the setting where the Lord Jesus declared himself to be the door to the sheepfold and to be the good shepherd. Let's look at what he said first about I am the door. We'll just revise that a bit. In John chapter 10, verse 7 to verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 7 to verse 10. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So when the Lord Jesus was saying this, I'm pretty sure that the religious leaders understood what he was saying. Because they found themselves to be compared to thieves and robbers that are supposed to kill and destroy the sheep or the flock of God. And yet Jesus said, I am the door. If you enter by me, enter through me, you will be saved. You enter by me, enter through me, you will find pasture. I am the door. If you enter through me, you will be saved and you will go in and out and find pasture. He is saying that he is the only door. I am the door. That's the singular. I am the door. He didn't say that I am one of the many doors to God. I am the only door. Remember in another instance where the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Do you know that Jesus is the only way? And that was illustrated very clearly to us in the way how God commanded the tabernacle or the temple to be built. Because in the tabernacle and in the temple, there is a place called the Holy of Holies. There is a place where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. There is a place where the presence of God is there. Now, no one can go into the Holy of Holies. No one except the high priest. And even him, he can only go in once a year. And the only time he can go in there, once a year, he must go in with blood of sacrifice to cover his own blood and to cover the blood of the people of Israel. Otherwise, he'll be struck dead. But the day Jesus died on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," when all the judgment of sin has been accomplished, the veil, the thick veil that separates the Holy of Holies from the holy place, was torn into half from top to bottom. And the Bible says that Jesus has opened a new and living way to the presence of God through the body of his sacrifice. He has opened up a way. He is the door. He is our access to God. And that's what Jesus meant. "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved." Have you entered in? Have you accepted that invitation and entered through him and found salvation? That is the question for you to think about. And then Jesus went on to say, "I am the good shepherd." He is not just the way to God, but as a shepherd, he wants to have a relationship with you. Because it is a two-way relationship. Him as a shepherd and you as his sheep. Let's look at John chapter 10 again, from verse 11 to verse 17. Jesus said here, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. By hiring, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hiring flees because he is a hiring and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Three times in this passage, the Lord Jesus says, he will give his life for the sheep. He will lay down his life for the sheep. He will lay it down because he has the power to do so. He also has the power to take it up again. That certainly talk about his death and his resurrection. You see, shepherding was very, Jesus using this illustration because shepherding is very important to the Jewish community in those days. And in many of the famous characters we read in the Old Testament, they have been shepherds. David, Jacob, Abraham, Moses, they all have been shepherds one time or another in their life. And God, in his very wonderful sense of humor, created an animal called the sheep. And he likened them to us as his people. Sheep are really most helpless because they do not know how to take care of themselves. All they care about is grazing, eating grass, and he did never even look up for the rest of the day, just eating, eating, and eating, until they became lost. Because by the time they wake up, they say, "Oop, where am I?" So they need a shepherd. They live a very short life, 10 to 12 years. So they have a shepherd. And most of them have only one shepherd. From the time they are born until the time they pass away, is that they have the same shepherd throughout their whole life. So from a little lamb, they will listen to the voice of the shepherd, and they will be familiar with the voice of the shepherds. That's when two or three different flocks mix together from different shepherds, when they come together at the well or at the water, when they mix together, there's no worries, because all the shepherd have to do is call them, and they will leave the crowd and be able to follow the shepherd and go their way. Because they learn to listen and they learn to follow. So when the Lord Jesus saw the Pharisees and the religious leaders cast out the blind man from the synagogues, excommunicated him, kick him out, whatever way you want to say it, he was angry. Because these religious leaders are supposed to be like shepherds of God's people. But they fail as their duty as shepherds. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 34 and Jeremiah chapter 23, God came upon the same situation. The shepherds of Israel are neglecting their duties as shepherds or as leaders over God's people. God was against them because they scattered the sheep. They driven them away and did not look for them. They fed themselves. They make themselves fat, but they did not care or fed the flock. The weak they have not strengthened, nor have they healed those who are sick, nor bound out those who are injured, nor brought back what was driven away, nor saw all of us lost, but with force and cruelty they rule over them. And God has this against them. And God went on to say that He Himself will be the shepherd to guide His own people. Let's read in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 to verse 16. For thus saith the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seek out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they will scatter on a cloudy and a dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick, and I will destroy the fat and the strong, and feed them in judgment. Also in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. This is what God says he will do. And I'm pretty sure young King David, when he was young as a shepherd boy, he experienced that care, that love of the shepherd towards his sheep, God towards him. And that's why he wrote in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in need. I shall not lack anything. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For He is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. David spoke of this shepherd, which is his God. And this God did this for him, protected him, helped him, and guided him all the days of his life. When the lion, when the bear came to attack his flock, he fought them. Not with his bare hand. He fought them with the power and protection of God. And therefore he could prevail over them. And when one day he went to visit his brother, brought lunch for them, he heard Goliath, the Philistine giant, calling out to the people of the army of Israel, defiling them, challenging them to a duel, and no one dared to step out to face him. And David, so angry, say, "Who is this guy? Let me go and fight him." And Saul, the king, was a bit concerned for him. "You were just a boy. How could you do it?" And David said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines." So he went out and confronted Goliath with a sling and 5 smooth stones and the power of God. And we knew what happened. So when in chapter 10 of John, when the Lord Jesus confronted the religious leaders because they did not care for God's flock, he declared himself to be the good shepherd, just like God is to David. And when he said, "I am the good shepherd," the religious leaders straight away understood that he is talking about himself as God, the good shepherd over Israel. Because no one is good except God. So when you give yourself the title, "I am the good shepherd," and this really stirred up the anger of the religious leaders. While previously he said the leaders are a bit like thieves and robbers who came to kill and to rob, here Jesus is comparing them to the hirelings. It means the hire workers who come and look after the sheep. And Jesus said there is a huge difference between the hiring and the shepherd himself. Because the hiring, they are not the owner of the sheep. They have no ownership of the sheep. And they do not really care for them. They have no affection for the sheep. It is just a job. They are paid to do it. And when danger approaches, they will run first. They leave the sheep behind and run for their own life. Care for their own safety first. Not so the shepherd. The shepherd has ownership of the sheep. And he knows them by name. He loves them and he cares for them. The shepherd will also be willing to die for them. Just like David, even though he was young, he was able to fight against the lion and the bear. He cared for his flock. He's willing to even lay down his life for the flock. Jesus, as the good shepherd, not only able to lay down his life, he could also take it up again. And Jesus, the good shepherd, also said that there are other flock that is not of this fold. Surely he is referring to the Gentiles that will later on will brought them together under the same fold, under his own caring as the shepherd. That he will break down the middle wall partition that separate the Jews from the Gentiles and bring them all together under his own care. Jesus is the good shepherd. Are you willing to be his sheep, to come under his care? If you do, you have to understand it is a two-way relationship. It's between him and you and him. We read again in John chapter 10, verse 2 to verse 4. "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And also in John chapter 10, verse 27 to verse 30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. At this point, the Jewish crowd and the religious leader took out stone and tried to kill Jesus again. They cannot accept that Jesus not only called himself the Good Shepherd, he also equated himself with God the Father. But Jesus is telling them the truth. The truth is that he is the Good Shepherd who cares for his sheep. If you are his sheep, you will hear his voice and you will follow him. It is a two-way relationship. He loves you, he is willing to lay down his life for you, but he also wants you to know him, to hear his voice, to follow him. And he tells you that he can give you the assurance of salvation, that if you believe in him, if you follow him, that you will be kept safe and no one can snatch you out of his hands. The Father, who is greater than he, shall also protect you, and no one can snatch you out of the Father's hands. And he and the Father are one. They will both love you, they will both care for you and protect you. So have you accepted him as the shepherd of your soul? We are often like sheep that has gone astray, each one to our own way. But the Lord Jesus himself came and seek and found us and laid down his life for us. Will you listen to his voice? Will you follow him? He can give you eternal life and you shall never perish. And no one can snatch you out of his hand or of the Father's hand. We talk about John the Gospel. John's Gospel is quite unique. And if you go to the end of the Gospel, it's sort of at the chapter 20, end of chapter 20, could be an ideal place to end. Because it talks about, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You could end there quite nicely. But there was a bit of a footnote in John's Gospel. It's about the shepherd and one of his sheep. The shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, has some unfinished business with one of his disciples. And he's a bit like a lost sheep. Remember what happened not too long ago, that Peter, who is always speaking first and acting first, he always considered himself to be the leader of the 12 disciples. And how he told the Lord Jesus that wherever Jesus goes, he will go with him. If he has to go to the prison, he will go to the prison with him. But Jesus correctly predicted that Peter will deny him three times before the cock crow. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, recorded the fact that Peter denied Jesus three times. But Luke given us additional details. He said, by the third time, when Peter denied the Lord Jesus, and just before the cock crow, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. the good shepherd turn and look at one of his sheep. Now, what was that look about? You think, you say. Was that a look that says, look, I told you so? Or is a look that says, what have you done? How could you do this? And I believe that if it's a look of the shepherd, then it will be none of those. It's the look of the shepherd that look at one of his sheep crumble under the weight of uncertainty and fear. Peter not only denied the Lord Jesus, he cursed and he swears and said, no, not me, not me. I'm not one of his own. I'm not one of his friends. Peter was totally defeated. And the Bible says that he went out and wept bitterly. Means that he was inconsolable. He was so fed up with himself. But we know that Jesus was right, that he said that, I had the power to lay it down again, I had the power to take it up as well. He was willing to die for us on the cross, but he has the power to rise from the dead. And he did that. He even appeared to the disciples before this incident. But Peter, the sheep, is still broken. And on that morning, he woke up and said, what should I do today? He's not sure. Then he said, I'm going fishing. Do you know that word, I'm going fishing? It's probably one of the saddest sentences. I'll put it on the par with Jesus Christ. Because it is a sentence spoken by a man whose old profession was fishing. And he thought he had left that long ago. He wanted to be a fisherman where thousands would come to the kingdom of God by his preaching. And that was his ambition, because Jesus wanted to make him the fisher of men. But that morning, this broken, this frustrated, this lost sheep, say, I'm going fishing. And the rest of the disciples said, oh, we're going with you as well. And they went fishing. They labored all night, caught nothing. Not a single fish. Then they saw a man on the shore and they say, hi boys, why don't you cast your net on the other side? And they did that. And they got 153 fishes. So much so that they could not drag it. And this man said to them, come on, just bring some of those up and I'll cook breakfast for you. And sure enough, they said, it must be the Lord, because this has happened before. And Jesus did cook breakfast for them. And after breakfast, Jesus, the good shepherd, has this little conversation with one of his lost sheep, Peter. The shepherd asks the sheep, Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me more than this? More than what? More than this. What was this? The fire, the fish, the breakfast, especially the fire. Because Peter remembered that the night when he denied the Lord Jesus, there was a bit of a fire there to keep people warm, and he huddled near the fire to keep himself warm. That's when one of the girls say, aren't you one of those people who follow Jesus? He said, no, not me. Do you love me more than this? Peter say, Lord, you know that I love you. Then Jesus surprised Peter and said, feed my sheep. Then he asked him the second time, and Peter said, yes, I love you. Tend my lambs. Then he asked him again. Then he said, feed my sheep again. Jesus is telling Peter, when you finally recover from all this, when you get your strength back, when you understood that your failure is not one that defines you, when you understand that I will still continue to love you, I have laid down my life for you, I will continue to help you. When you realize all that, then I want you to know also that you are going to be a shepherd too, like me. And the Lord Jesus wanting Peter not just remain as a broken, as a weak sheep, but he wants Peter himself to be a shepherd. My friends, my brothers and sisters, that is the same for us too. We are not always going to be just a sheep. Yes, it's good to do that. But sometime God will bring someone else weaker, needier to your presence. And the Lord say to you, like Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. While Peter never forgotten what the Lord Jesus said to him, when he was old and gray, and when he finally sit down and write a letter to the believers, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 4, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Peter never forgotten what the Lord Jesus told him, so he continued to serve the church of God as a shepherd. But he has good examples to follow, the Lord Jesus. He said, no, not to lord over them, not to take advantage of them, but care for them, help them. Because we as shepherds are under the supervision of the chief shepherds who will continue to look at what we do. And one day when we come back, when he come back, we need to give an account to him. I pray that today you understand when Jesus say, I am the good shepherd, and what that meant to you. Come to him as a sheep, but eventually you also become a shepherd over the people that God entrusted to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you are our shepherd. In you, we have everything that we need. There's nothing lacking. Thank you for looking after us. We thank you for strengthening us, just like you strengthened Peter when he was down and out. We pray that, Lord, you have mercy on us and that we will continue to learn from you and learn how to care for others too. Give us strength. We pray in your precious name. Amen.